Once again, it's been a great blessing to be here this weekend. I feel like God's been in the services in a mighty way. I know that I feel better than I did before I got here. And I think this church is to be highly commended on many, many things, not the least of which is how you operate this meeting. I've been flabbergasted at your hospitality, and you seem to have a desire to spoil preachers. You're doing a pretty good job of that, I think. And we're going to skedaddle pretty shortly after the service this morning, just because we'd rather travel on an empty stomach. We're not mad. Okay? I want to read to you from the third chapter of 1 John. Brother Charles actually hit on this text while he was preaching, and it's just still on my mind, so not that I think he needs any help. He certainly does not. But 1 John chapter 3, I'll read, I guess, just the first two verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Isn't that just great? That is just so great. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm telling you, that is all my hope and all my strength. And, well, anyway, what I want to try to talk about is what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And I don't think that any man can do even halfway appropriate job of trying to describe the love of God, but I'm going to try it anyway. And what I want to do is just give you four, if the Lord would bless me, just for a little while, and I'm going to use correct grammar. I want to hear Brother Carl preach well, very badly. So that's one thing I've got to say about y'all. It's a lot of fun being with y'all. And also great encouragement spiritually just to be with you all here. And we will go home more blessed than when we came. And I'll tell you that right now. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The first thing I want to say is, God calls you his son. And this is the God that cannot lie. And I love what John puts in here in the second verse. He says, now are we the sons of God? So when God's calling you his son, he's telling the truth because you are now the son of God. Now, it is true that it does not yet appear exactly what we're going to be. And that's why when I preach on the resurrection, and I love to preach on the resurrection, bear down on it. You know, but I do not stand in front of people and try to say what we're going to be like. I don't have a clue. I know we're going to be like the resurrected Christ. That's good enough for me. That's okay. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, four things I want to mention about the qualities or characteristics or whatever you want to say about the love of God, which mean a lot to me. And I want to predicate that on the most foundational doctrine, maybe, in all of the Word of God, and that is the depravity of man. The doctrine of original sin, which is taught in the Bible. The doctrine of the depravity of man. And that is the clear truth of Scripture that all of the human race was in Adam when he fell. He was our federal head and representative. And what that means is what he did affected you just as if you had done it. By the way, let me parenthetically state the same thing is true about the last Adam. What he did affected you just as if you had done it.
Amen.
Isn't that just fabulous?
Yes.
But anyway, so Adam fell, and we all fell in him. He became, he's the only, he and Eve were the only people that ever became sinners.
Good point.
All the rest of us were conceived sinners. Conceived in sin. And we, the nature that he got as a result of his fall was passed down to all of us. Every human being was conceived in sin, just like David, he confessed that he was. Our Lord accepted, because he didn't have a natural father, which makes me wish to say to you, all of us men, we're so proud, you know, of our sons and daughters. Well, I'm afraid it's us men that pass the sinful nature down. That's kind of the way that looks to me. But anyway, okay. And because of what Adam did, we were all dead in sins. And I wish the whole world knew what it means to be dead in sins. To be dead in sins means to be totally incapable, no spiritual mind, no spiritual ability, no spiritual wants, no spiritual desires, no spiritual thirst, no spiritual hunger. Dead as a sack of hammers when it comes to God Almighty. Now, no capability, no line of communication between you and God. Do you comprehend me? Dead. Just as dead spiritually as Adam was before God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's how dead we all were in sins. And if an individual that's trying to learn about God ever gets that to some degree square in their minds, how dead the human race was in Adam, election is the best news you've ever heard in your life. Because you know that you don't have the ability to come to God, you don't want to come to God in that state and condition. And the fact that God chose His people in Christ before the foundation of the world, and all that is the best news you've ever heard in your life. Predicated on this doctrine of original sin, the depravity of man. Now, we're taught in places in the Scriptures that, you know, we were sinners, we were enemies, we hated God, we were at variance with God. At the very time that Christ was shedding His blood for us, that's the condition we were in. All right, now, I want you to think with me just a little while. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, people in that condition. By the way, if you'll read Psalm 14, Psalm 53, you'll see, you'll recognize that God Almighty did absolutely take that long look from heaven. He took that long look all the way to the end of time to see if the sons of men were going to come to Him, none. I love that. They are altogether become unprofitable. By the way, the King James Version is so hard to understand. Over there in 14 and 53 of Psalms, it says, there is none that doeth good. And then in case you don't know what none means, it adds, no, not one.
Amen.
I love that, man. There's none good, no, not one. So here's the condition that man is in. We were by nature. Listen, the very thing that God Almighty cannot stand to have in His presence. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes.
Brother Charles talks about His banished. We in it. Y'all, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Nothing in us to merit, nothing in us that would in the least from attract God's attention spiritually. I mean, in fact, I guess I would just have to say, I don't know how God could love us except in Christ. What was there in us? Okay, now. The love of God. So the first thing I wanted to say, as far as just a simple characteristic to describe His love, is that it is sovereign. Would you say amen that God's sovereign in all He does?
Amen.
I have been in Arkansas, we're burnt to a crisp. You people in Oklahoma are not quite as badly burnt up as we are, as at least that's the way it looks to me. And you know, I've wondered, you know, why God does not send rain, or what He's doing to withhold the rain or whatever. But I finally told the church the other day, I said, we don't have a right to even question God.
Amen. Right.
He's the sovereign. You hear the King of England talking about He's a sovereign? Baloney. Baloney, He's a sovereign. Almighty God is a sovereign. Now here's the thing about it, y'all. God sovereignly loves His children. What that means is there is nothing in them to cause God to love them. There's nothing in them that can obligate God to love them. In fact, when I think about that, I think about over there in Romans where it talks about Jacob have a loved and Esau have a hated. I'll say more about that in a minute if the Lord bless me. I'm trying to hurry. Jacob have a loved, Esau have a hated. Now, my question to you is, which half of that amazes you the most? Jacob have a loved. Okay, if you're flabbergasted, You should be flabbergasted that God, such a holy God, could love thou worm Jacob. That's what God called him. How can that happen? What is there in Jacob that I am not at all astonished that God hated Esau? I understand that totally. A holy God? Esau? I can hardly comprehend that God would love Jacob. And even less do I comprehend how he could love me. I'm telling you, God's love is sovereign. It is not earned. It is not wrought up. There's nothing in us to merit it. It is God's sovereign choice, so to speak. I'm using that term loosely, to love what I believe to be the majority of the human race. I could be wrong about that. I know the Bible says he's going to have the preeminence in all things. And so I just reason from that there are going to be more people in heaven than there are going to be in hell, although I believe that hell's going to be full. There are going to be people in hell. You know, and you know the irony of that? Our human nature doesn't like to think about that. Human nature we'll have such sympathy that we'll argue ourselves out of the truth of the Bible if we're not real careful. But anyway, so, God's love is sovereign. When we were yet sinners, ungodly, we were the very thing that it looked to me like God would hate. Now, the little illustration I want to use on that, my wife is creeped out by snakes bad. Bad. If a snake ever falls on my wife, well, I really don't know what she'd do. She is mortified. They are disgusting to my wife. Now, other people are disgusted by other stuff, right? There's a girl in our church, she's disgusted, totally disgusted, repulsed, you know, by mice. Maybe some of you ladies can't stand mice. Angie Bell is so scared of mice, so creeped out by mice. One day we were having a cookout at the church and Brother Ted Honeycutt slipped up behind her with a twig. And he just tickled the back of her ankle and I thought she's going to tear the back wall out of the meeting house. She's just that horrified by mice. Maybe some of y'all are maybe creeped out by, I don't know, spiders or roaches. I hate roaches pretty bad too. Now here's what I want you to think about, okay? Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to just make up your mind to love that thing that you can't stand the most. Just make up your mind to love it. I'm telling you, God's love is sovereign. It's His choice, His decision. It is not earned by us. God did that. By the way, just like everything else God does, is sovereign. Okay, that's point number one. I've got places in the Bible I could talk about. Remember over there in Deuteronomy when the Lord told the nation of Israel, I didn't choose y'all because, this is Deuteronomy chapter 7, I didn't choose you because you're the biggest nation, you're the most powerful nation, the most numerous nation. You know, God's telling them, I chose you because I wanted to. You're my chosen nation because that's what I wanted to do. And by the way, don't forget that this God, who is sovereign, is also 100% teetotally, holy, righteous in all that He does. And everything He does, whether we understand it or not, is 100% holy and right. So this God, who does what He wants, always does right. I love to think about that, don't you? Whatever God is doing, and I don't claim to know, but whatever God is doing by withholding rain, it's right. If in fact He's doing that, it's right. I don't know. I make no claim to know. Okay, so God's love is sovereign. I hope you can say amen to that. That just simply means we didn't do something to get it. You know, when I think about that, I think about my wife, Becky. My wife, Becky, is, in my opinion, the most beautiful woman inside out, top to bottom. Just, she's the most beautiful. She's my favorite person in the world. I told my sons, I said, I love you boys, but I don't want to live with you all the rest of my life. I mean, you know, I love them with all my heart, and I'm not trying to run my boys off, but I don't want to live with them the rest of my life. I do want to live with Becky the rest of my life. She's my favorite. I love Becky because she's lovable. Y'all hear me? Those of you that know her know she's lovable. She's sweet, man. She's sweet. I told you all the other night she's better on accident than I am trying my hardest. My brethren say amen at the wrong time. But the truth, isn't it? The truth. I'm telling you, I love Becky because she's lovable. Can you imagine God loving us when we were not lovable? Let us thank God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Isn't that great? Okay, now the next thing I wanted to say. I believe God's love is like all the rest of God's attributes, like Him. We talk about God being omnipresent. We talk about Him being all-powerful, everywhere present, nowhere absent. And I'm going to lovingly submit to you that the love of God, like God, is infinite, infinite in degree. I'm talking about infinite. I'm going to get to everlasting here in a minute. I'm not talking about everlasting right now. I'm talking about infinite in quantity. Wouldn't that be logical? In other words, there is no such thing as the God of heaven loving anybody more than He loves somebody else. God's love is by definition infinite in degree.
Amen.
Infinite. Just like God. In fact, I'd almost say it took an infinite love to love us in the first place. And an infinite love to get us from where we were to where we're going to be. Just think about that a minute. Now, I love to think about that. 1 John, I read here in 1 John, one of my favorite, God is love. God is love. He is one of them. Just think about that. And I think He is infinite love. Now the verse I want to read to you to shore that up, if I can, is in James chapter 1. This verse means a great deal to me. James chapter 1. Listen to this here. Every good, you know this probably as well as I do. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Man, that covers a lot of territory. Which I'd like to talk about, but I probably better not. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Just let me say this. I would lovingly submit that probably every person in this meeting house right now has got gifts that God has given you that came from Him. May I encourage you to use them in His service, whatever it is. And you've already been told that you can pray to God. You can pray to God when you can't do anything else. So don't tell me you don't have any gift at all. Okay. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above, which cometh down from the Father of lights. Now watch this. With whom is no variableness. Can you understand? No, we can't understand that, but we can believe it, can't we? A God with whom is no variableness. Yeah, you think about that. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. No variableness. You know, that verse right there teaches there's no such thing as God loving somebody more than He loves somebody else. No variableness. God loves all of His children with the same infinite, sovereign love. What manner of love is it that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we can be called the sons of God? Now, I love to think about that. So you know, don't think, you know, people want to say, well, over there, the Lord didn't really hate Esau. He didn't really hate him. You know, He just loved him a little bit. No, the Lord, there's no such thing as the Lord loving somebody less. Y'all learn, no variableness.
Right.
No shadow of turning. Okay, so, God's love is sovereign. unearned, unmerited, bestowed by His own choice and decision. It is infinite in degree, amount. I don't know really exactly how to say that. And the third thing I was going to mention to you right quick. Brother Charles already mentioned this, but anyway, it's everlasting.
Yes.
Everlasting. Behold, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, I would lovingly submit that if God never changes, God never didn't love you. Now, I just used a double negative and did that on purpose. So, Brother Alan Daniels won't scold me for my bad grammar. He's already done that once. If God never changes, is it possible that there was a time when God didn't love you? Think about that. I mean, okay. It's crazy good. And then think about this, which maybe, I don't know. Of course, when I try to start thinking about a God that never changes, my mind just kind of runs out. You know, I can almost comprehend starting now and never ending. But when I start trying to think backward to no beginning, I can't get there from here. Eternal is a characteristic of God. Isn't that great? I love to think about it. So I'm not sure that there ever was a time when God didn't love you. If God didn't love you and then He started loving you, it seems to me like He would change. Be that as it may, I know for sure He has loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness has He not coerced you, not wooed you, not invited you, but with loving kindness has He drawn you because of this love that He has for you. Now then, another thing I love to think about that. God's love is never going to end. Y'all look, if God ever loved you, He will always love you.
Amen.
Now that's pretty crazy when you think about how badly we misbehave. God's love doesn't alter one whit. Can you imagine that? It's just unreal. His love is sovereign. What manner of love is it? Well, it's a sovereign love. It's an infinite love. I claim it is an everlasting love. Now you think about that too now. May I ask you, is it possible that this God with all power in heaven and earth, this God that does whatsoever He pleases among the arms of heaven and half of the earth, none stays Him, say, what doest thou, does what He wants in the heaven and the earth and the seas and in all deep places, is it even possible that God would love you with an everlasting love and then send you out of His presence forever? See, that's not going to happen. God's loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness has He drawn you. And I want to say a little bit about that if the Lord will bless me here just real quick. But the fourth characteristic I wanted to bring up before, I think I may turn to 1 John chapter 5. You know, I've been preaching through 1 John before I come to my fourth point. I've been preaching through 1 John. You know what one thing the themes of 1 John is? To get God's people to know they're God's children. To get God's people to know they're God's children. I'll just go ahead. These things have I written unto you. Read 1 John and just write down all the stuff that John says is the reason why he wrote that epistle. It's pretty flabbergasting. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So notice the people he wrote to. People that believe on the name of the Son of God. Y'all, not one word of this book is written to the unregenerate. I think I would even be willing to say that not much in it is even about them. But it's to God's children. And John said, one reason I'm writing this to you that believe on the name of the Son of God is that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, y'all listen, that's not boasting. But I really believe it's pretty important for the child of God to be taught that he or she is in fact a child of God.
That's right.
Be assured of that.
Okay, you say, well, I don't deserve it. That's true. That's true. This is something God imposed on you sovereignly. He blessed you with it sovereignly. It's His choice, not yours. We understand all that. But look, if you've got the love of God in you, we love Him because He first loved us, and we'll get to that in just a second. If you've got the love of God in you, you're going to have to know from Galatians 5 and other places that that was put there by God. That is not something that man has in his fallen condition. Remember what I said about the doctrine of original sin being foundational to all this stuff? Now, the fourth thing I wanted to mention, and Brother Charles mentioned this the other day, and I thought, well, maybe I ought to preach on something else, but I just couldn't think of anything else. I mean, you know how it is, and that's crazy, all stuff in the Bible, and this is all I can think about. So God's love is sovereign, say amen. You didn't do something to get it. You did everything not to get it. God loved you anyway. His love is infinite in degree. It is as measureless as God. No degrees to the love of God. His love is everlasting. Aren't you glad to know that? And the fourth thing, which I just maybe love even more than all of that, is God's love is causative. It is always reciprocated.
Yes.
Always. God's love always, always, always gets the job done to the ones that He loves. And they're every one of them going to love God back at some time in their life. Now that's why I said to you a second ago, please believe me that if you love God, do you love Him? I'd be willing to say that most of you that are sitting out there and you know you love God, if I asked you when did you start loving God, do you ever remember a time when you didn't love God? Most of you would probably say, I don't remember a time when I didn't love God. I'm not asking for a show of the hands, but you think about that. I personally don't remember a time when I didn't love God. Now, I know there have been times when I disobeyed God, and we've already heard taught that God will tan your hide and make you smell like you've been in hell. Wasn't that some good preaching? You may not go to hell, but you may smell like you've been there. Well, I believe I've felt the heat of the chastening rod of God enough that maybe I smelled like I've been there. And I'll even say to you today, a child of God can behave in such a way that they'll have a hell on earth.
Amen.
I know that's true. Been there, done that, got the ball cap and the t-shirt. All of which smell like?
Yeah,
smoke. John, I want you to think about it now. The love of God, infinite in degree, it has its effect on you, and it's always reciprocated. God puts His love in the heart of every one of His heirs of promise. 1 John 4:19. I love it. We love Him. Why do we love Him? You read with me. 1 John 4, right quick. Just let me read this a little bit, and then I'm going to close. I just love it. We love Him because He first loved us. Do you realize what that said? Our love for God is caused by God's love for us, not the other way around. And if you love God today, it's because He loved you. I just think He always loved you. I think He always loved you. And His love is infinite in degree. And His love is sovereign. You didn't earn it. He chose to do that, so to speak. That's language that really doesn't make sense. But anyway, God loved you sovereignly with an infinite love that will never end. And it causes you to love Him back. Isn't that great? So just take that to the bank and know that you are God's child. Not because of what you've done. What did Paul say? He loved me. Also, Paul said He loved me, gave Himself for me. I do not mean to sound boastful. I'm not boasting, but I believe really and truly, y'all think about this, I believe I can know God is my Father about as much as I can know Richard Harvey is my Father.
That's true.
Because, now listen, I inherited, some characteristics from my Heavenly Father that I didn't have a thing to do with. I inherited some characteristics from my Heavenly Father just like I inherited some from my earthly father. Think about what I'm saying. Listen to this. With this I close. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What manner of love hath God bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God. How did God manifest His love? Look at this. Toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son, His only begotten Son, not His one and only Son. Don't try to change John 3:16, what Brother Charles preached to us, to say God sent His only one and only Son. You know, these modern versions, that's what they say. That's the craziest thing I ever heard of in my life. That's terrible to say. But look, y'all, if Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God, you're not one. He's not the one and only Son of God, but He is the only begotten Son. And God sent His only begotten Son. This is how He manifested His love. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. This is it. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. I'll just quit right there. Thank you for your good attention. And God bless you. Come ahead, Brother Carl.